So, hi, I'm Tom Evans, and I'm delighted today to be speaking, let me just see on my Amazon reviews here, to Aussie Old Possum, also known as the lovely Sherry Wayman. Hi, Sherry, how are you doing?
Oh, thank you.
And thank you for that lovely review. That really made my day when that came in. Thank you so much for that. So, did you read this? We know, did you get the Kindle version or the printed version?
No, I downloaded it straight onto my PC because I don't actually have a Kindle.
Okay.
And that actually, your book inspired me to do that because I hadn't realised that I could download it straight onto the PC. So I was able to read it off my own laptop.
Fabulous. And how long did it take you to read?
Just a couple of hours, like in the afternoon. It's quite funny because, and it was just so simple and easy to read. And I just kept wanting to read more because each chapter led me on to something else. And I'm, as I said, you know, there are some aspects of it when you think about how tiny we are in this huge universe.
Mm.
And how can we possibly be alone?
How can we be alone?
How can we be alone? Just how can we be alone?
It's impossible. It's
mind-boggling. Every time I read something, it makes me want to read more. And there are some things that you're introduced to, because Facebook's a fantastic medium for gathering so much information, you know, because everyone posts different things. And some things I go into and I think, I think somebody's climbing a tree on that one, you know.
That's a lovely phrase. I like that one.
But there are other things that I see and I read and I'm like, yeah, I resonate with that. I understand that and I will go with that because I will absorb that information and you know, make it part of my own, thought process.
Well, that's an intriguing idea, isn't it? So you know intuitively when someone's climbing a tree or or climbing up their proverbial or when it's something you want to absorb. So where do you think that knowing comes from?
That's a good question. There are some things that I have always had knowledge of. I remember as a 13, 14-year-old girl, before I went to Australia with mum and dad, I was lying under the stars. I was looking at the stars, as you do when you're a kid. You're lying out there in the summer's night, you know, and you're just looking at the stars. And I was thinking about this, you know, how can God be all around us? How can we be made in his image? How is it possible that all of this, and yet they're talking about the same thing? And it occurred to me at that very young age that, of course, it was atoms. Everything is made of atoms. And it's the vibration of the atom. And so from that moment on, I've always thought to myself, I could probably change the vibration in my hand and put it through a wall, but I've never tried it yet. Because the pain puts me off. But the thought is there. And now, you know, 40-odd years later, it's becoming more widely spread with quantum physics and about, you know, the atom isn't the last bit. You know, there is more than the atom. But it is possible for that to be the case. So even back then, when I was a very young girl, you know, as soon as I had that thought, it was like, of course, simple. I think from about the age of 7, I've had a knowledge of what I perceive to be God, and I think having that knowledge and understanding has probably helped in the knowing process.
Wow, that's incredible. So what? Where does that lead you in terms of what you don't know?
Oh, God. You know, the more you read, the less you know. The more you you speak to people and discuss their paths and their ideas, and you think, oh, yeah, now why didn't I think of that? Now, but yeah, so there's less I know than ever. And in some ways,
do you find that exciting or challenging?
Both. I think life is exciting. It is very much so. I find that more now because I'm more understanding of the process and the position that I'm in, I suppose, in being a medium and a spiritualist, and understanding that life doesn't end, it just continues, and that there are multi-dimensions to it. So the more I've learnt, the more I want to learn, so the less I know, the more I want to learn to know. Having said that, there's a point where I don't need to know, because whatever's going to happen will happen, and I will find out at that time. I'm very excited about, you know, I say to people, to be my age and to know what I know now about survival, to live without the technology, you know, that's here today, like you and I, Skype, that's brilliant,
mm-hmm.
You know. Things we dreamed about in Star Wars and Star Trek and Doctor Who, you know, even so far as the little tablets that they're using, and beam me up, Scotty. It's going to happen one day, you know, and perhaps even in our generation.
Mm.
And I think, wow, but then if all the technology went today, because of my age, and things that I knew and got used to when I was very young, like we didn't have running water. We had cold running water, but not hot running water. And I remember having to go up to my grandmother's in Chatham from Kent to have a bath once a week because she had hot water. So, you know, I still know how to make soap and candles and how to cook, you know, and I still do. Cook from scratch, you know, I make my own sauces and foods, and you know, I do a lot of sewing, so there's a lot of things that I have, skills that I have, that just aren't out there now.
So you think it's important that going forward to the future we also retain the knowledge of the past?
Oh, definitely, because history is what we are. We become history in itself. You know, I think about when in Australia, you know, everyone wanted to say that they wanted Johnny Howard to say sorry to the Aborigines. And whilst I understand the Aboriginal plight 200 years ago, I also think to myself, oh, I was going to say Tony Blair, but whoever, you know, David Cameron, who's sort of leading the country now, mm-hmm. You know, if an alien spaceship landed here and said to David, g'day, mate, you know, we've got technology here that's 200 years in advance of what you have, and, you know, we just want a bit of the country, what will you give us?
Mm-hmm.
And what would you do, Cameron, what would you do? He'd say, take Wales, take Ireland, take Scotland, and we'll just keep the rest, wouldn't he?
Oh, absolutely.
For that technology.
Or Essex.
Or Essex, definitely. and I'm an original Essex girl because my club history goes back to Hayfield and Haybridge.
Wow.
Tolls Hunt Darcy, a family connection. So, yeah, he'd probably give them everything and say, yeah, just hand it over. Hand over that technology. Let's, you know, see what we can do. And in some ways, that's what happened. The Aborigines had technology 200 years in advance of what they had 200 years ago, you know. And my thought is, if you say sorry for something that happened in history that you have no control over, then why don't I go back to France, who were the last conquered, the Normans, 1066, the Battle of Hastings, you know, they came and they were the last conquerors, the Norman, you know, and I'm going to go back to them. I'm going to sue the ass off them and say, look, you know, you owe me because you stole my country. But I'm also going to tell the Negroes around the world to go back to Africa, because I'm sure the Africans won't mind, will they? You know, so at what point do you stop and say this is unrealistic? That happened then. You can't not think about it, but you shouldn't be saying sorry about what happened, because we are survival of the fittest. And that is what we are as a human are about. We're learning as we're going. We do things like my understanding is that I am a spirit having a human experience.
I love that phrase,
and I revel in that. The fact that I can do so much and I can have an experience and decide, yeah, I really like that, I think I'll do that again. Or I can have an experience and go, didn't really like that one, so scrap that, won't do it again. And that boils down to relationships, jobs, ethical, moral, everything. It's all about becoming who we ultimately are going to be.
And what's your dream for the future, of where this ultimately what we're going to be turns up? What do you think? What sort of shape and flavour will that have?
I remember many, many, many years ago as a nurse, because I was a nurse in Australia, and somebody said to me about finding a cure for cancer. And I said, that would be lovely, but as soon as the cure for cancer is found, nature will find another disease. And I think I'm intelligent enough to understand that this view that some people have of utopia is not here, that we are here to learn, and that means that there's got to be good and bad, and that means that we all have experienced some aspect of everything, and if we haven't, we will be going to. We make choices before we're born about what we want to experience, whether it's a very short lifetime or whether it's a long lifetime and a happy lifetime, or whether it's full of sadness and despair. These are things that we choose to live by. I do think that because so many more people are becoming enlightened, and I say that very broadly because there's many different levels of enlightened, you know, there's the ones that climb the tree, you know, and the ones that are very grounded and have an understanding, and everything in between, of course. So with our world, I do see that it will, for some people, it will become the utopia that they want. In some ways, but for the majority, it will continue being the same, and we will cross over, we will come back, do it all again, and maybe experience different things. The beauty is, and I cite Reiki. You understand Reiki?
Of course, yeah. I'm Reiki too, yeah.
Yeah, I'm Reiki too as well, and I did mine in Australia. My tutor was a third generation Dr. Mackay Yasui. And, you know, a few years after I did mine, you can learn it in TAFE. The symbols are no longer sacred. You can buy necklaces with symbols on them. And my thought process goes, okay, so that has developed. that it's now no longer how Dr. Mackay Yasui originally started. And you know the philosophy behind that, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, he investigated all these different sciences. He gave it to this village free, went back a year later, and only one person out of the entire village was actually practicing it. So he thought the best way to protect it is to charge an extraordinarily high amount so that only people who really want to learn and use it can do it. Right? So that's how we get the process of, it was £10,000 when you first initially to train as a Reiki master or just Reiki one. You're aware of that, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is...
yeah. So now you can go into TAFE and you can learn it in TAFE. There's a part of me that thinks that's sad. That's sad for Dr. Mackay Yasui and for Reiki, and that people will come along and not understand the energy behind it. That's on one hand. On the other hand, I think how wonderful that so many people are choosing to learn, and the process of learning is going to change their lives, so that it may not be today, but maybe in 10 years' time, they will understand the benefits. And by spreading the word that way, you bring about more peace.
Yeah, and of course there's new energies coming in as well, new symbols. So at the same time, the old symbology gets absorbed and known by the collective and the majority, then new, stronger stuff comes along.
That's it. That's it. But that thing I told you, because I looked at your cards, the Chiron cards?
Chiron cards, yeah.
And the symbol that I was given in this past life meditation that I did by the master was a crystal, and it was shaped. The shape is like that.
That's
which is very similar to the healing one, but it's not the same. It's like this. I've not... The closest I've seen to it is the healing one that you showed me.
Yeah, that's called Osam, and that is a healing energy. So it's quite right you pick it up. And all those energies are inside us. You know, it's not that we don't know them, we've just forgotten them.
That's it, yeah. And I understand that. That's one of the things that you say something like that and it resonates. Mm. I don't sort of throw it away thinking, no, I don't understand that. So there's a lot of things that, you know, I suppose I've been very fortunate in my life. I've always thought I'm pretty ordinary, but I've been incredibly fortunate to have met some amazing people like yourself, and had some mind-blowing experiences, you know. And I talk to other people and I think, you know, I've said, have you done this? Have you done that? And they're saying, like, no, no, no. And I'm like, well, how did I get to do it all? How did I get to do it all? But and knowing that there's got to be something at the end of it, but I don't know why yet.
And do you think that's important, that you don't have to know the why, you just have to know the what and the, not the how, but the how to be, so that the why arrives?
I do think it's important. I think too many people worry about what they're going to do tomorrow rather than going with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst you have to have some, you know, I've always got some nebulous idea of what I'm going to do in the future, but I don't set anything in stone. I had things set in stone, and then it was brought home to me that it doesn't matter how much you want or desire something. If that's not the path, it won't happen. Or if it does happen, it will be taken away from you. So you can have these ideas, and it's great to have the ideas, but don't focus on them. Because if you focus on them and life changes, you then have that huge disappointment, the grief and everything else. And while you're going through that process, you're missing out the joy of whatever the new thing is that you're doing.
Well, that must be the ultimate knowing, isn't it? Just knowing that you're on path and knowing when you're not on path?
Oh, I suppose I hadn't thought of that one, but yeah, I suppose in a lot of ways that is what makes me so comfortable with myself. You know, a few people have said to me that they really like that I can say what I mean, what I like, and truly not be bothered whether somebody else likes it or not, because I'm not responsible for their thoughts or actions. Brilliant. So, and that is, there is something in that, that, and I don't go around upsetting people, but I do say and behave as I want to. You know, if I want to run around the streets like an Indian with my niece and nephew, I do, because that's fun, you know. But by the same token, you know, I can stand up in front of an audience and do demonstration as well. So it's about being comfortable with who you are, and that's really important.
Well, that is a lovely, lovely thing to know, Sherry. Thank you so much for sharing that with you. And I know one thing, that it's an absolute pleasure to be sharing this ride on Spaceship Earth with you at this moment in time. So,
isn't it?
So thank you so much for that. Again, thank you for downloading the book, and thank you for leaving that lovely review. And let's make this a series of a few discussions about knowing, shall we?
If you're up for it, I'm up for it.
Sounds great. You take care. Bye now.
No worries. Bye.